Let's take a moment and pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to share a word. And Lord, I pray that you give me the grace to say what you want me to say. And Lord, I pray that you will use what is said to meet a need, Lord, in each heart. And thank you, Lord, that this is the day that you have made, and we can rejoice and be glad in it. And thank you, Lord, you have good things in store for your people, Lord, as we put our trust in you, our hope in you. Lord, thank you that you will bless us, Lord, and meet our needs. So we commit the time to you and pray your blessings on it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Okay, so the title of my message is Praying is Fundamental. Praying is Fundamental. And I have the opportunity and the privilege of facilitating our Wednesday's Power Hour of Prayer. And our main focus during those time is to pray for the prayer requests and praise reports that you all fill out on Sunday. Amen. And we lift them up and lay them at the Lord's feet. And we also pray for upcoming events and needs that we hear about during that time. And so we meet, as it was shared in the announcements, we meet every Wednesday at 8 o'clock via Zoom. And all the information is in the bulletin on how you can tune in. And you don't have to stay for the whole hour. If you tune in, you can join us and lift up your prayer and then check out. And I'll say a little bit more about that later on. So just a heads up. Okay. So first, what I would like to do is just define what prayer is. And in the Oxford Language Dictionary, prayer is defined in several different ways. And the first definition says that it's a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. I didn't care for that last part of it, but that was part of the definition. Then the second part said prayer is communication with God, and we do this by praising him, confessing our sins before him, thanking him, and asking him for our needs and desires. And then thirdly, it says prayer is communication with the Creator. When we pray, we engage in loving fellowship with the Maker of heaven and earth. And I believe that the third definition is probably the best picture overall of what prayer is. But I also, and I want to focus on that first, but I also want to spend a little time to focus on the second definition that says that it involves us praying to him and confessing our sin and thanking him and asking him for our needs and desires. So, but first, let's take a few minutes and look at the last definition, which was engaging in loving fellowship with the Maker of heaven and earth. And so, you know, one of the things that we need to do is to remember that God wants to have loving communication and fellowship with each one of us. And when we do this, it helps us to get to know him better. And sometimes when we pray, God will speak to our hearts through his Spirit to help us to know him better. And just like when you get to know a friend better by spending time with them and communicating with them, in the same way, we can develop our relationship with God through spending time with him and fellowshipping with him and communicating with him. And then the end result of doing that will be growing in a closer relationship with the Lord. And you know, I know Pastor is always exhorting us about developing our relationship with the Lord, and there's many different aspects of doing that, but this is one of the aspects of how we can develop a closer relationship with the Lord. Now, my main idea is prayer is communication with God, and it plays a vital part in us getting to know Him better. And so for any of you who are taking notes, I'll say that one more time. Prayer is communication with God, and it plays a vital part in us getting to know Him better. And here are a few verses that help to express that idea. And the first one is in Matthew, and it's chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. And I would like to read that. And you're welcome to read it if you like in one of the new shiny Bibles that we have. And if not, you can just listen along. And it reads, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And I like that idea of how the Lord invites us in. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. Okay? Then the second one is Psalms 34. Verse 8, and also verses 15 through 18. So you can turn there if you like. If not, like I said, I will read them. I actually put a tab in my Bible so I could get to them a little bit quicker because I didn't want to be too long. And but you're welcome to look it up for yourselves. But verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." Then down to verse 15, and it says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit." And I love that thought in the last verse where it says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And so God wants to be near to us and have fellowship with us, and He wants to develop our relationship. Then the third verse is in Psalms 40, and it's verses 1 through 3. Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit and out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him." Now, that particular verse expresses a very important point about praying to God. And the psalmist says that he waited patiently for the Lord, and the Lord heard his cry. And we must do the same thing. We must learn to do the same thing, to wait patiently for the Lord. And when we do this, we can experience His presence. We can experience His nearness as we pray. And I'll share a little story about how I experienced that. When I was in Ohio, I lived in Ohio for 13 years. I went there from Richmond and initially to go to school, but God took me out there so that he could bring me to himself, to open my heart and my mind to him. And so anyway, I became a part of a church there in Ohio, and actually the sister church to the church Pastor Dan was a part of in Michigan. And but while I was at that church, we went to a conference one time where the people that were speaking were from India. And one of the speakers, he shared this idea. He said that we need, when we pray, we need to wait patiently for the Lord to give him an opportunity to speak to us. And so I said, okay, well, that's a good idea. I'm going to try that. And so what I ended up doing is when I went back home, maybe the next day or so, I went into my room and I prayed. And as I prayed and lifted up, you know, my prayer requests and everything, then I said, okay, I need to wait. And so I sat there and I waited. And so I was listening and waiting. And sure enough, though, as I sat there and wait, little by little, I started to feel the presence of the Lord right there with me as I was praying. And he just gave me peace as I was praying to him. And I knew that he was there. I knew he was listening. And so I was really blessed just through waiting and having the opportunity to let the Lord speak to me. And so that is a blessing that we can experience as we learn to wait on him as we pray. Okay, then I have a question for you all. And my question is, how many of you like to pray? Let's see hands of those of you who like to pray. Okay. All right. That's a pretty good number. So I can call you guys for the next prayer time that we have. No, I'm just kidding about that. But that's good that a lot of you like to pray. And then the question is, those of you who do like to pray, when do you like to pray? And I know some people like to pray when they are one-on-one with God. And that is when you can have a close and intimate time with the Lord. And then some people like to pray with other people. They'll pray with another person. And they can be united with that person in seeking the Lord together. And then there are some who like to pray when they're in a group with other believers. And you can be inspired by the prayers of others to trust, to pray and trust God for yourselves. And so there's many different venues that to do each of those types of prayers, whether you're praying one-on-one or you're praying with one other person or praying in a group. And, you know, sometimes in the quietness of your home, you can spend time with God one-on-one. And then sometimes, you know, you can go for a walk outside and you can use that time to pray. I know that's one of pastors' favorite things to do, is to get out and go for a walk and just have time, communion with God. And then sometimes when you are with other believers, you can take a few minutes to pray together for any activity that you're doing. And you know, we actually had an opportunity to do that, or I had an opportunity to do that when we were putting the chairs together for the sanctuary here. You know, as we were putting chairs together, it just seems like we weren't quite in sync with one another as far as getting it done. And so I said, well, why don't we take a minute and pray? And after we prayed, everything seemed like it mellowed out, and we were able to work together and get it done in a timely manner. So, you know, sometimes that's the thing to do. When you're with a group of other believers, take a few minutes and pray on over whatever activity that you're planning to do. And then sometimes after spending time with other believers singing songs to the Lord, you can be inspired to pray and give thanks. And I know that with our brother George, he blesses us so much with his singing, and not only by himself, but, you know, with the worship team. And oftentimes you can be inspired to pray after singing praises to the Lord. Okay? And then let me find out where I'm at here. And so when we do that, it actually opens the door. When we take time to fellowship with the Lord and communicate with the Lord, it actually gives him the opportunity to do the same with us. Okay? Now, I want to give a couple of examples of individual and group prayer from the Word. And the first one is in Matthew, and it's chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And this is on individual prayer. So Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. And it reads, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And just a little story on this prayer and how God used that in my life. I think I've actually shared this once before, but on the day that I got saved, that night, before I went to bed, I prayed. And I was in the habit of doing that, even though I wasn't a believer. You know, as a child, my parents taught us to say the Lord's Prayer. And so we would say the Lord's Prayer every night before we went to bed. And so I got into the habit of doing that. And then for me, later on, I actually expanded the things I was praying. All of this was before I became a believer. And I expanded some of the things that I was praying for at the time. And so that night, out of habit, I started to say the Lord's Prayer. And as I started saying the Lord's Prayer, the Lord just made it come alive to me. And for the first time, I really understood what it was saying. And it was like God illuminated what those verses were saying. And it was amazing. I mean, I literally kind of went verse by verse of that prayer, and I was like, wow, that's what that means. And so it was really a blessing as I just simply prayed a prayer that I had been praying most of my life. And yet at the point that I received him into my life, he gave me true understanding of what that was all about. So, amen. So now I would like also to read Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. And again, this is still under individual prayer, as you're praying individually. And so it is Luke chapter 5, and it's verses 15 and 16. And it reads, "Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to a lonely place and prayed." And initially I was only going to do the second verse, you know, that Jesus would often slip away. He would go to a lonely place to pray. But then I read it in context, the fact that it said that people heard about the things that he was doing and they were coming and they wanted to be healed. And it was like, I can imagine that, you know, crowds of people, it said crowds of people were coming. And it was like more and more people were coming to experience that blessing. And our natural tendency is, man, there's so much to do. I need to get this done. I need to take care of this. I need to make sure this person gets the healing that he needs. And that's our natural tendency when things come in. And those are good things. You know, those are good things. But in the Lord's case, he would slip away. You know, when the crowds came in like that, it said he would slip away and he would pray and he would seek the Lord. And I think he was seeking the Lord in order to keep his focus clear. He was seeking the Lord so that he would have his priorities clear. And so we need to take that to heart. It's like when things get busy, it seems like, man, I'm pulling my hair out trying to get all this stuff done. We just need to slip away and take some time to pray and allow the Lord to help us to get our focus and to get our priorities straight. Amen? All right. So now I have a couple of examples also of group prayer, and the first one is actually in the book of Acts, and it's chapter 12, and it's verses 5 through 18. And I'm not going to read that entire scripture, but just to explain basically what happened was Peter was arrested after he had been speaking about the Lord and sharing the good news about the Lord, and the religious leaders had him arrested. And it says in that section of scripture, it says when the church heard about it, that the people in the church, they earnestly prayed for Peter. And once they prayed for him, a miracle occurred and things began to happen. And Peter ended up being freed from prison. And what happened was, actually, God literally sent an angel to the prison. Got Peter woke up from his sleep, and the angel instructed him, you know, put on your shoes, put on your cloaks, let's go. And so the angel led him out of the prison, past the prison guards, and he led him out through the gate to the city, which opened on its own, and the angel took him out to a place where it was safe. And I believe all of that was a result of the church praying, the church being united together and praying and asking God for Peter's deliverance. And so Peter actually went back to the place where the believers were, and they were in unbelief. They actually didn't even believe it when he came to the door. And it said the servant girl, when Peter knocked on the door, she couldn't believe it. And so she ran back and told the rest of the people, and they said, oh, you're crazy, you know. And so, but Peter kept on knocking, and so they went and opened the door, and Peter came in and explained what happened. But again, that's just an example of how God can work miraculously on our behalf when we're united in prayer and praying together to him. Okay, then There's also another example in Acts, and it's in chapter 4, and it's verses 23, 24, and 31. And again, this was a case where Peter and John, they had healed a lame man. And then the religious leaders had them arrested and told them to no longer speak in the name of Jesus. And so I want to read verses 23 and 24, and then verse 31. But verse 23 says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And then let's skip over to verse 31. And in verse 31, it says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And so once again, we have an example of how when the believers united together and prayed together and trusted God, that God went into action. God filled them with his Spirit, and they spoke boldly the word of God. And that's exactly what the chief priests and the religious leaders didn't want, because that's what they had warned Peter not to do. And but God was like, nope, not having that. And so the Lord filled them with the Spirit, and they spoke boldly his word. Amen? Amen. Amen. So then there are a few things that I would like to share with you that you can use that will help you in your... Hold on one second. I think I might have gotten out of sequence here. Hold on one second. Yes, I did get out of sequence. So, okay, well, maybe I did. Actually, I have a few things. Hold on one second. I'm sorry. I think that I did get out of sequence. Oh, yes, I did. And the reason that I have so many pages is because I needed large print, because I couldn't read this stuff otherwise. And I don't know if you realize, but I'm kind of straining to read what's in my Bible. And that's supposed to be large print too. But anyway, let me move on. And it says, I have a few things that you can do that may help you to develop a stronger prayer life. And so one of those things, the first thing is to actually set aside a small amount of time each day to pray to God in private, where it's just you and him one-on-one. And you could start out with just 5 minutes, and then you can increase the time as you feel more comfortable. And then a second thing is that you can seek out a prayer buddy, someone you would be comfortable with, praying for one another, and praying for the needs of others as you become aware of them. And then the third thing is keeping a prayer journal. And so you could get a notebook or a journal that you can write down answered prayer. And it can serve as a reminder of God's faithfulness and kindness to us. And my wife she reminded me how God had the Israelites to build an altar after he had done great things for them. He would have them build an altar so that they could remember what God had done for them. And we can do the same thing by keeping a prayer journal and writing down the things that we see as answered prayer. That also can be an altar to the Lord, and it'll help us to remember the great things that God has done for us. And then fourthly, is making it a goal to once a month to pray with a group of other believers, or just join in to listen to the prayers. And this can help you to feel more comfortable as far as praying in a group. And I hope you guys remember what I said. I was coming back to the Power Hour of Prayer. And so I just want to say that in order to do that fourth goal, that might be the perfect vehicle for you to be able to meet that goal. And so once again, we meet on Wednesdays, and it's at 8 o'clock, and all the information is in the bulletin. And so if you feel led by the Lord, you could do that. And like I said, it doesn't have to be for the whole time. It can be just for part of the time. And I think that God can accomplish things just through doing that. And so actually, that is all that I wanted to share with you today. And so I hope that it was a blessing, that something spoke to you, that God gave you something from this lesson. And so what I would like to do is to close our time the same way that Elder Grace did last week, by meeting in prayer circles. And this can help us to put some of the things that we've learned today, to put it into practice. And then after the prayer groups in, we'll have a closing song and the benediction. And so if we could, Michael, could you get a group there in the back? And Pastor, could you get a group here to the right? And then me and Elder Grace, we can go over here to the left. And we'll take just about 3 or 4 minutes, not a whole lot of time, but we can meet together and we can take the opportunity to pray for some of our needs as a group.